Good morning, everybody. So I'm going to start today with just a few announcements for our church. Today is just one service, so this is it. There's no kids things, there's no Sunday school, it's just this service, and that's it for today, and we do that when there's a service around a holiday. Then don't forget the Christmas mailboxes out there. So we do that to save on postage, and you can write all these letters to people within the church, so you may have some in that box, and look at the letter according to your last name. So Truesdale would be under T. So check that. The Dental Mission team meeting is going to be held on email for the month of January. The Chosen movie nights are on pause, and they're going to pick back up Friday, January 9th at 7 p.m. There's a potluck and praise Sunday, January 11th at 5 p.m. with the Front Porch Band. So sign up in the foyer, bring a dish to share. There's Hope for the Hungry. Is Tuesday, January the 13th from 10 to 1, and you can sign up for that. Women's Game Night, Tuesday, January 13th at 6:30 in D101, bring a snack to share. There's a new Women's Bible Study beginning January the 20th and on the 21st, so sign up in the foyer. Child care is available. And then you've probably noticed there's a big remodel happening on this building up here. We got the top floor done, so you can go up there and see the new offices. They're pretty cool. And then the bottom half of it is going to be continued in January. And then finally, we have Wordly, and that's going to be available today. So if you are interested in using Wordly, you can scan that QR code, and it'll take you to, you can choose the language you want to do, and it'll read it, this sermon to you in that language on your phone. Or if you have earphones, you can link those up, and you'll be able to hear it being spoken to you as well. So it's a really cool thing that we have, so take advantage of that if you're wanting to do that. All right. Now, it's a dangerous time of year to be going to the store. Me and my sister's in town, actually back here, and we've been going to get all the sales at the stores. So you go in to Kroger or whatever, and you got all this discount stuff from the season just being over now, and so they're trying to move all this stuff out. And you go in, and you look at all this stuff, and it's so good. It's such a good deal. But it's a little bit risky because the stuff adds up, even though it's discounted deeply. You know, you get enough of the stuff, it adds up fast. So there's that risk. But then there's also the fact that you probably went in for some other reason. Like you probably wanted to get milk and butter. And you go in and you get sidetracked by this stuff. Like, oh boy, this is nice. And then you get all your stuff, like, let's go. And you get in the car hundreds of dollars later and you realize, oh wait, the stuff's still in the store. I didn't get the things I needed for my house. So distractions can really throw us off. And distractions in life can really cost us more than just that money in the store. There's a story, a famous story in the past about a race that took place called the Miracle Mile. And this statue is to commemorate that race. So it was called the Miracle Mile because it's between these two guys, basically, John Landy and Richard Bannister. And they both can do like sub 4 minute miles. And so this is a big race, the fastest people in 1954. So they're going, and they're right at the last turn of this race. And it's neck and neck, and no one can know who's actually going to win this thing. But as they're going, John Landy chose to look back over his shoulder to see where Bannister was. And as he did that, it messed up his gait, and he started stepping kind of weird. And then, boom, he was on the other side, actually. Bannister overtook him and won the race. So it was the looking back that tripped him up and distracted him from the goal. If he had kept his eye on the prize, he would have been able to probably win the race. I do kind of pity him, though, because this has been commemorated for eternity, this one mistake. He's still a very fast guy. Like, you wish you would have been remembered for the speed rather than your mistake. But it was such a thing that it was so famous at the time that they made it into a statue. So distractions that throw us off can really trip us up. And that's how it is with the Christian life, too. So Paul goes into, in our passage today, Philippians 3, 12 through 14, he compares the Christian life to a race. And in this race, if we get distracted by things and we get tripped up, then we don't achieve the goal that we wanted to achieve. And so Paul's telling us, you know, you need to stay focused on what is important in this race and to keep pushing forward with it. So as we start this new year of 2026, I want to encourage you to keep running your race, to keep running it well, to keep your eye on what's important, and to not be distracted by the many different things. So we see this in Philippians 3, 12 through 14, but I'll start with verse 10, because he really gives the goal. So he's talking about this goal, and in verse 10, he says what this goal is. So Philippians 3, 10 through 14. My goal is to know him and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, assuming that I will somehow reach the resurrection from among the dead. Not that I have already reached the goal or am already perfect, but I make every effort to take hold of it, because I also have been taken hold of by Christ Jesus. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and reaching forward to what is ahead. I pursue as my goal the prize promised by God's heavenly call in Christ Jesus. So the Christian life is like a race, and races require you to keep pushing forward. So keep pushing forward in this race. And as you're thinking today about the new year and making New Year's goals, how is your race going right now? And how can we do better at that race? So I have a few things I want to look at today about how we can do better at the race of the Christian life. The first thing we can do is to refuse to settle for our current place in the race, our current status. So in verse 12, he says, not that I have already reached the goal or am already perfect. So he says like this, and he tells us what the goal is in verse 10. It's to become more like Jesus, to learn how to live like Jesus did and to work things out of your life and to gain things that are according to what God wants you to do and to live after Christ. But he says, though, he has not arrived, which is interesting because you'd think if anybody had arrived, it's Paul. And this is kind of the end of his life. He's in prison right now. He's writing letters. He's an old man. And you'd expect him to say, like, okay, you know, I've been doing this and, you know, I've achieved it and you can too. But he says, no, I've not yet achieved this thing, actually. I'm still pressing forward towards it. He's not arrived. And he says that he's making every effort to do it. So he's still pushing hard after this thing. He's not just relaxing. He's really pressing towards trying to achieve this goal. He just hasn't yet. And we need to do the same thing. We need to be pushing towards this goal still, even if, you know, we feel like we're done and we feel like we need to stop pushing so hard. It's still time to push. And this is because there is no arrival point. It's eternal. We keep pushing forward towards it. We never actually achieve this thing. However, you may have met people before that believe they have achieved it. They think that they've arrived. They're super Christians. And so you go to them with whatever problem you may have. Like you say, I'm just having a hard time with, you know, whatever this thing is, like my family or, you know, my kids. And they will respond, oh, I got the answer for that. What are you, you know, are you, why won't you, the Bible says it clearly, just do this and you'll be fixed. And it's like, so yes, but you're kind of missing the nuances here. Like, you know, people that just kind of give you a Band-Aid answer, like the Sunday school answer, that doesn't, you know, that's not living life. That's not actually running the race. Some people, you know, they're kind of annoying to be around if they have all the answers. And they think, like, you just haven't read the Bible because you're not living it out. It's like, well, it's harder than it seems. You know, it's hard to live life. And people who have these kind of Band-Aid answers often haven't experienced the things that put that to the test. And say, okay, you know, this is different than it seems on the surface. And there's actually people, though, that believe you can achieve perfect sinlessness. There's a whole branch of Christianity that believes that. So, and Spurgeon gives a story about meeting some of these people. So he has two guys kind of in his connected to his ministry, and they believe that they've reached a sinless point of perfection. They're like Jesus now. They've achieved it. And so it's like, okay, whatever. And so he disagrees with them. And so they're just going about, you know, their days, and they're all having breakfast. So these two guys are sitting at the breakfast table eating the breakfast, and he comes by with this bucket of water. And he takes the bucket of water and drenches it over their head. And what do you think happened at that point? They jump up and, what did you do that for? And they start pushing people. They're so angry. He's like, I see. This arrival may have been a little premature. Like, it seems like you're still dealing with something in there. A little bit of anger issues there. And he's just revealing the fact that we can't ever achieve that. You know, we can't hold them, we can't hold it against them too much, because there really is no point of arrival. It's like you're just always going to be working things out of your life. You're always going to be trying to become more like Christ, because we can't reach that goal. And it's because it's an infinite goal. You know, if the whole point of life was to memorize an encyclopedia, you know, it's a big thing. But if it's your whole life's purpose to memorize this thing, to get it done, to know it, and at the end of your life you have to quote this thing, potentially you could do it because it's a finite amount of information. Like, you just start here, go here, and you devoted your whole self to it. Maybe you could do it. But that's not how your Christian walk is. It's always moving towards God, who is infinite. So you keep getting closer to him, but it keeps the goal line keeps getting bigger and bigger, because there's no end to this. It's just always growing more into the image of Christ. And the reason why that happens is because the closer we get to God, the more light is shed into our lives. And when that light comes in, it reveals more darkness that we didn't even know was there. Like, oftentimes we think we've solved this problem, we've solved this. I've read the verses and I have no more anger issues now because it's been fixed by the verses. But then, you know, something happens in life, you're like, explode. It's like, okay, well, I got some work to do. And as you move closer to God, you see why that was a problem, and you can work on those things. And we see that in life. You know, more light reveals more problems. There was one time I got some boneless chicken wings, and I was happy to get these things. I've heard good stuff about this, and I was going to eat this actually on my birthday. So I got this, and I held the box up here. And as I was, like, trying to open it, I tilted the box a little bit, and this grease came out and, like, drenched my shirt. Like, oh, this is great. So, you know, but I'm thinking, whatever, I'll wash the shirt and it'll be fine. Unbeknownst to me, oil, like, stays in your shirt for eternity. I don't know why. If you know how to get it out, I am open ears, because I have no clue. It's still there. And I thought it was out was the problem. And so I was in the closet getting ready for whatever, and that shirt, I'd washed it. I'm like, okay, I'm good. And I put it on, and in this light, it was great. Nothing was there. But then I go out into the world and get into the lighting of the stores and things, and it's like, boom, it's there. It's still very much there. And I'm like, oh, man. So, if you have any answers for that, I am willing to hear, because I don't know. But it's because it was a different type of light. It was a stronger light had shed on that, and I could see the stain that was still there. And that's similar to how our Christian life is. It's like we keep going and we think we've worked this thing out and we're done with it. But then as we get closer to God, more things are revealed about us, because we're closer to perfection. Like when Isaiah sees God, he says, I'm undone. Like, he thought he was good. He's a prophet. But as he got closer to God, he saw, you know, there's still problems. I have an unclean mouth. I'm not worthy. And that's what happens. No one ever goes to God in these visions in the Old Testament and they say, oh, yes, God, I'm worthy to be here. Let's talk. They always say, like, they fall on their face, terrified, they can't handle it. Because it's the closer you get to God, the more is revealed about yourself that you need to work on. And that's how it works with our Christian walk. And that's why the goal is never achievable, because we just keep getting closer and it keeps revealing things about us. And I thought that as you aged, it would get a little bit easier. I thought by my age it would be easier on some things. But I've learned that it doesn't. It's just kind of shifts. Like, some things do get easier, but other things come up. And it's because it's this eternal battle. And it's what happens is the battlefield changes, but the war remains. So you had this battle, and it's done, but then this battle starts, and you got to keep progressing in this thing. The war is always there. It's just you kind of shift around the scenery, but it sticks with us. And so there's never an age that you settle in. You know, you don't get to be 65 and you're like, I'm done now. I don't have to struggle with sin anymore. It sticks with you. You have to keep wrestling with it. So refuse to settle at the point that you're at in your Christian race. There's never an end point. So you can't settle at this point. You have to keep pushing forward. So don't settle in your personal devotion time, like your time with God. Don't let it become transactional. And I think if it does if it's transactional, I think it's still better than not doing it. Like, I think it's good to still do that. But if you can, try your best to have this be a meaningful time with God, and don't settle for where you're at right now. Keep pushing forward with it. Also, don't settle for where your character is at. Like, if you're looking at the world to compare to yourself, and you're thinking, you know, the world's just in chaos, and I'm doing better than that, so I must be fine. Like, the world is not a place to compare yourself to. Like, it's definitely crazy. So always be comparing yourself to Jesus, and then even yourself last year. So you think about last year, how was I doing? You know, if I'm doing a little bit better now, then you can see progression. So are you doing a little bit better than last year? And then don't settle for the effect that you're having for the people around you. So your faith should start with you, but it shouldn't end with you. Like, it's not just for you. The faith that's given to you from God is for you to help other people. So be using that faith that you're growing in to be constantly finding ways to reach out to others. And there's tons of ways to be able to serve. So just find ways that you can use what you know, what you're good at, and keep pushing out to help other people with that faith. So don't settle for where you're at right now. Another way to progress in this Christian race of our life is to keep a single focus. Paul said that he hadn't achieved the thing, right? But he said, one thing I have achieved. So this is like, he's able to do this. And that was to keep his focus on Christ. Keep looking ahead to Christ. And as he kept that focus, his actions aligned with that goal. The things he was doing started to match up with the focus that he kept. And since he had that focus, he was able to leave his past behind him, pushing the past back into the past. And so he knew that you got to keep the main thing the main thing. You can't add in all this other stuff and expect to progress in your main goal because you're getting too clustered with all this other stuff. So all parts of your life can't be the main thing. There's only room for one, and it needs to be your focus on Christ. So if you try to do everything at once, you're probably going to be kind of poor at most of the things. And I think the perfect example of this is the spork. Have you ever seen a spork at the hotel? It tries to do too much, and it fails at everything. So if you try to eat your soup with a spork, it all drips out because there's tines on it, and it's on a spoon. If you try to eat a muffin with it, the tines break off into the muffin, so you got to like dig out the plastic piece before you choke on it. So it's like, it's not achieving really anything. And so, you know, why, what am I doing with my life when I'm using this thing to eat this muffin? So it tries to do two things at once, and it fails at both. So that's what happens in our life. If we try to do too many things and try to be good at it all, we're going to end up just kind of failing at a lot of it and being good at just a couple things. So we got to keep that main focus what it needs to be, the main thing, keeping our focus on Christ and progressing towards him. And once you have that as your main focus, like with Paul, your actions start to align with that focus. So the verse doesn't say, I try many things and I achieve all of it. You know, he says, I do this one thing. And that one thing is helping me to, I can achieve that one thing. And so with us in our lives, you know, we're busy. Paul's busy, which is counterintuitive in a way because he's in prison and he's older and like how much could he actually be doing? But he was a very busy guy. He's writing these letters to all these churches. He's basically running the church from prison somehow. So he's very busy. So it's not like he's just sitting there and thinking like, you know, I've achieved this thing because I got nothing else to do. He's a busy guy and he's still doing it. So us in our lives, it's easy for us to get busy and burdened down by all types of stuff. So the world will fill in your time and just take it all up. And you start to wonder, like, I have time to do nothing. And even in that situation, you can choose to have your focus be on the main thing. And, you know, if it's on the wrong thing, your actions are going to start to skew in that way and be counterproductive. If you focus on the main thing, your actions will start to follow after it. Because it is possible to miss that main focus and have your actions kind of go in the wrong way. And one example of this is Mary and Martha in the Bible. They're friends of Jesus. They're both trying to serve Jesus the best way that they know how. And Jesus reprimands one of them for having the wrong focus. So Martha wants to have everything set and have everybody comfortable, and she thinks that this is the way she's serving God, and this is the most important thing. So Mary, why are you being lazy over there, not doing anything? You need to be actually working. And as she's scolding Mary, Jesus says, no, like, I'm only here for so long, and Mary's doing the correct thing. Her main focus is on getting closer to God. And so she's actually in the right, and Martha, you need to kind of refocus and keep the main thing the main thing. Don't be confused with all this other stuff that's so easy for us to get confused by. And there's many things that are going to try and get in the way of your main focus as you're trying to achieve this, tons of things. And I think one big distractor is the past. So we all have things in the past that we want to just stay in the past, leave that stuff back there. But it has a way of popping back in. You know, it's like weeds. You know, you think it's all done, and then boom, spring comes, you got the weeds. The past, like, wants to come back up on you. And so if we don't pay attention to this, then that can easily kind of distract us and throw us off course and take the wind out of our sails. And, like, you know, you tried so hard, and the past seems to come and just keep pulling you back down. But we don't have to be limited by that. Paul shows us an example of this. So he's got a past, and one big thing was that, you know, the churches that he's writing these letters to used to be churches that he persecuted. And so it took a long time for people to trust what he was doing, because he used to actually try to kill these guys, and now he's actually supporting them. So that's his past. He was actually at the stoning of Stephen, the first martyr, the first person to die for their faith. He's right there holding the coats with the synagogue of the freemen, which is a whole study in itself too. But he was there, and that's the past that he's trying to put behind him. And he said he has achieved that. He's put it in the past. And it's not to the point where he has amnesia about it, saying, like, what are you talking about? I used to persecute the church. But he's put it behind him to where it doesn't influence his future. And that's how we can do it too. Like, we can put the past behind us, but it's not to the point where you don't know what happened. You know, I can't remember that. It's to the point where it doesn't have to influence where you're going now. Put it behind you, release yourself from it, so that you can press forward into the future and have a different future, because God wants a better thing for you in the future. He wants it to look different than what your past looked like. So if you're too busy being bogged down by what happened back here, you're not able to be released and go off into what God has for you planned over here. So you don't want to miss out on this. So release yourself from this stuff so that you can go here and have the future that God wants you to have. So don't let yourself be saddled by the old bad stuff in your past. But I'd say also don't be saddled by the good stuff in your past. So, like, you could say, oh, I used to be all about God. I used to go to church all the time, and I used to do my Bible, and I want to get back to it sometime, but I used to do these things. That's not today. If you used to do it, that's in the past. So don't say, I used to do these things and it counts for now. It's like, it's gone. Don't be saddled by those things either. Push forward and be doing stuff today. Keep pursuing, keep putting the effort in. It's a continual thing. There's no end goal, right? So we keep pushing forward. You've noticed that when you're driving a car, when you're in the car, the windshield is like 90 times bigger than the rearview mirror. So that's because what's before you is way more important than what's behind you. So if you're driving and you're just staring at the rearview mirror, negative things are going to happen. You're going to go off the road, because it doesn't matter as much what's back there. It's good to have as a reference point. Well, this happened back there, and I need to be aware of it. But what's most important is pushing forward to what's before you. And that's why the windshield is there, to help you progressing. So as you keep going in that direction, keep pursuing your future, getting closer to God, there is a prize that you can keep your eyes on. And that's what he tells us. He keeps his eye on the prize and he pursues it. And that's what we should do in our lives. Pursue the prize that's been set before us. Make progress in your race to get towards it. That's what Paul says. I pursue as my goal the prize promised by God's heavenly call in Christ Jesus. So the goal is to get closer to God and eventually the resurrection from the dead, as Paul says. But, you know, we naturally don't want to pursue that. Like, we don't all get, we're not born thinking, I want to get closer to God. You know, it's something that God has to change in our lives. And we continue to wrestle with having that right focus, for focusing, keeping our eye on the prize. Because we have so many things in our life that we want to be pursuing that the flesh just wants to insert into that main goal area. And so we get distracted so easily. So one big portion of pursuing the prize is pursuing the right prize. Not what naturally we want to be doing, but what God wants for our lives. And that's what's happening with Paul. So Paul used to pursue a prize, but he tells us it was the wrong prize. So if you look at the word pursue in the original language, it says here he's pursuing that prize for the high calling to be closer to God. But that same word is the word that the Bible uses to say he pursued the church to persecute it. And he uses that in that light, it uses it six times. So he pursued after the church to destroy it. And that was his own goal. He wanted that for himself. This is the way life worked for him. And so he pushed after it with all that he had until God revealed it to him that that was the wrong way to go on the Damascus Road. He says, this is how I want you to be going from here on. And his whole life changes. And so now he, instead of trying to ruin the church, he's trying to run the church. And it was because God fixed his goal to be on the right thing. And so how many times in our lives do we kind of latch onto the wrong goal? We have this, the flesh and things want us to pursue these other things. And the trick is to take the motivation and the energy that you had to go after that thing and translate it into this thing. And, you know, how do we do that? That's a God thing. You can't really change your own heart. Like, you can try, but it's still there. It's still pushing it back against you. So it's something that God has to change in you, and you can pray in that direction. God, please change my heart to be motivated. I'm so motivated to do this other stuff. Please shift my desire to go from that stuff and towards you, and help me to enjoy getting closer to you rather than all these other things. And that's something that only God can do for you. So it's important to be pursuing the right prize, and it's important to keep pursuing even though it's not always comfortable. The language that's in this whole passage is comparing the Christian race to, or the Christian life to, a long race. A super long, long-distance race. And one thing that runners get is cramps. So as you're going, you know, if you've just been going for so long, you get this boom, you're like, ah, no. And you're like, it's really painful. If you've ever ran these races before, you know, like, this can happen. And if the person says, I've got this cramp and it hurts so bad, I'm out, and they go sit on the sideline, they're not going to finish the race, then you never get to, you've trained so long to get, be at that point to be in the race, and if you let that stop you, then you miss the end goal. And that's what can happen in our spiritual life. Like, if we keep going and we have to endure, and if we get these cramps, like, ah, you know, this isn't comfortable, and if we stop at that point, we miss the end. Like, we don't get to see where it could have went if we'd stuck with it. So we need to keep running, even though it can get difficult. And the thing about Christianity is many of the positives that happen with Christianity are set in the long term. So you got to keep enduring and keep pursuing and keep going with this thing for it to really take effect in your life. And actually, a lot of what happens in the short term is misleading. Because, like, if you do this thing and it happens and it's success, you know, you have such a good time at this place, sometimes as you get deeper into this ministry or church or Christian walk or whatever, you see, like, okay, it wasn't exactly how it seemed. A lot of what the Christian life is all about is sticking with it, enduring, and getting to this other point. And you can see, wow, I'm glad I stuck with this, because you can see the fruit of it in your life over time. So sticking with it, getting past the cramps that come up, the discomfort. So if you've had a negative Christian experience or spiritual experience, I'd encourage you to not let that knock you out of the race. Because it's easy to have that happen. You know, you start and you're excited and you may not know as much about the Bible and things, and then you have this thing happen and you're like, okay, I'm good. Like, I don't want to be a part of this anymore. But then, you know, it's not that's not the full picture. Like, there's a long distance result of this thing. It's like a marathon race. And as you keep going, you start to see the fruit. And a lot of the immediate results were kind of misleading. They weren't exactly as they seemed. So sticking with it lets you get to that other point and you get to see what it was all about. And I think also don't listen to people that tell you the Christian life should be super easy. People say that. They say, if you're a Christian, you shouldn't have these problems. What are you struggling for? Yeah, you've got the Holy Spirit. You should never struggle. You must not be saved. People say these things, and it's simply not true. Like, that's, Christianity is hard. It's a difficult thing, you know. As you live life and you try to live counter to the culture, obviously it's going to be tricky and difficult. So one thing that highlights this is the original word for race in the Greek here is agon. If that sounds familiar, it's because it's the root for the word agony. And I don't think that they were mistaken in linking those two things together, a long race and agony, because it definitely is. If you've ever ran kind of a long distance, you know, like this, it's like a continual, you know, punishing of yourself to be able to get through this thing. So it's a long race and it's not fun all the time, and sometimes it's uncomfortable. But as you race, you keep pushing forward, and it takes a lot out of you. When you're racing, it takes, you know, sweat, intensity, endurance, focusing on the finish, trying to help yourself as you go along. And that's the same way that it is with our Christian life. It's a long distance thing. It takes endurance. It takes intensity. It takes focus to be able to, and, you know, looking at the end goal. What's punishing about a marathon, I've ran a marathon before, and at the end of it, you want to keep your eye on the finish line, but they keep that finish line to be like the last 0.0001% of a mile. It's like the immediate turn, and that's the finish line. It's like, I can't, so you'd like to be looking at it and running towards it, but you can't until the very last second see it. So it's nice when you can have a point, a reference point to be able to look at and to chase toward that thing. And we can have that in our Christian life as well. So there's a point in your Christian walk where things will start to get easier for you. So up front, it is difficult to change the way you've been doing things and to keep, to kind of get momentum going. But once you've changed and you've made that decision to follow after God and you're starting to live the Christian life, it starts to get easier to add things to that, to keep adding good things to that, and it becomes easier because you've got a momentum going. So you can keep adding to that momentum and pushing forward. And so we should keep pursuing the prize because there's a momentum that builds up behind us. Speaking of momentum, I was thinking about this. My daughter, Juniper, we were at this, at our in-laws having this big scavenger hunt for Christmas. And there was a clue, so they had clues that had to run across the whole, it's a 3-acre thing, they had to run across everywhere to find these clues. So she really wanted to find a clue. So someone else found the first clue, her cousin, but then she's like, I'm going to find that second clue. So they say, it's over on the barn. And so literally, this is a good part of like a mile, I think, but it was like from this end of everything all the way to this end of everything, and she's just going. She's 4, she's small, but she was going fast, and I was right there with her. So she's going, I'm going, and she was like, I'm tired, but she just kept going. And the thing is, if she'd stopped because she's tired and then tried to go again, it would have been harder. Like, the other kids would have caught up with her and, you know, someone else might have got it. But she kept going and kept pushing forward, and she didn't stop. And she got there exhausted, but she got the clue. Yes. And she got to read the clue. So it was a really nice time. You know, but it's the momentum that kind of helped her keep going forward. They say in racing, the most efficient way to run for a long distance is to use your kind of body weight for yourself. So like basically how you're supposed to run is to lean forward and right before you fall, catch yourself with your foot and then just keep doing that. So you're just going and you're using your body weight to keep pushing yourself forward. And that way you're not expending as much energy. So it's this momentum that you can build behind yourself that helps you to keep progressing. And that's the same with our Christian walk. As you add things to it, as you're already going in this direction, you already have your eye on the prize, you can keep adding things to it and it becomes easier. So up front, it's hard to add, to start something new, to do a new habit, to try and improve yourself, to try new things that are outside of your comfort zone. But literally, when you get there, a lot of times the thing that was outside of your comfort zone doesn't turn out to be all that bad. And then you start to be able to do that more effectively because you know it's not as scary as it seemed, and you can do these things now. So keeping our eye on the prize and using the momentum that we already have. And God says in here that in the Bible that he will help us to achieve these things too, because he's the one that's called us to do them. So he'll assist us in the process of trying to chase after the goal. So you should be pursuing this also because of the high calling that God has on your life. In verse 12, Paul says that he takes hold of Christ because Christ had first taken hold of him. So Christ grabbed him first, and then that's why he's responding by trying to grab onto Christ. And that's what happened to us too. Like, God comes out and grabs us and says, here's the salvation, accept it, and you accept that salvation, and then you start to try and grab after him. But you're responding to his high calling on your life as you pursue these things and you keep progressing. So God's called you to be a Christian. And what he's called you to do is to keep pursuing after him, to keep pushing towards the prize, to keep putting the effort in. So in 2026, that's what God wants you to do. That's what he wants you to do today, to keep pursuing after him. He's called you out. He has a high calling on your life as a Christian, and he wants you to be doing this, to continually be pressing forward, to keep pushing forward. That word pursue is actually used for hunting in the Bible. It's like that's what the word was. So as people are hunting after a deer, you're really pressing hard because you want to catch this thing for dinner or whatever. And that's how we're supposed to be pursuing after our Christian walk, to keep just aggressively going forward and just pushing. And so that's what we can do in 2026. Keep aligning ourselves more and more with Christ because of the high calling that he has on your life. And finally, pursue him because the prize at the end is worth it. So back in the ancient days, you would run really hard for 26 miles, and the goal at the end, they'd give you a prize of some ivy. I feel like I would feel gypped, because I'm exhausted. I've trained hard for this, and you give me some plant. Like, it's not going to cut it, I don't think. And that's what they got back then. You know, today it's a little better. You get a medal, get maybe a cash prize if it's a big thing. But it's way better than that. The Christian race gives you a better reward. And it's not even just a better life, even though that can be a side point of this whole thing, having a better life, following after Christ. But the main goal, the main prize here is, as Romans 8:29 tells us, it's becoming more in the image of Christ, learning how to work things out of our lives to get closer to God and just keep pushing into this infinite goal of knowing God in a deeper way. And then eventually eternity with God and the resurrection. So that prize is definitely worth it. So now, as we enter the new year, 2026, it may be that you've never really entered this race. And how to get onto the track is the free gift of salvation. So accepting that gift is what enters you into the race, and then you start running. So if that's where you're at, that's the first step. Accepting that free gift. It may be that you were running this race and then you got that cramp in your leg and you're like, oh, you know, and you got distracted and you started aiming at the wrong goal and went off course. And so now you're off the track and you're thinking, well, I'm so far off now that it'd be useless to turn around and try and get back on the track. So if that's you, I'd encourage you to get back into it, because, you know, the cramps, they are there. And that's going to be a part of the Christian walk. And so pain in the Christian walk is unavoidable. We can't ever escape it. Like, don't listen to people who say that you won't have it, because it's going to be there. So having the pain is unavoidable, but being miserable about the pain is very optional. You don't have to wallow in this pain that you've had and say, oh, I'm so miserable now because, you know, I'm not even going to try any longer. You can overcome that. So you can put this away and say, you know, I'm going to look past this cramp. I'm going to go through the discomfort, and I'm going to push on because the goal is worth it. The prize is there, and I want to keep pressing forward towards this goal. Or it may be that if you've been struggling to keep your pace up, you may have been weighed down by the past, and these things keep pulling you back. And if you've ever done resistance training, you got this, like, stuff on you, these weights, and then you shed these weights, and it feels like you can fly. And that's what can happen if you shed the past, that the past has been pulling you back, and you're trying to go, but you're like, I just can't, I'm so tired. You can release these things, because this is what the Bible's telling us. Paul says, I've put this stuff behind me, this thing I have achieved. And so we can achieve it as well. You can get that stuff off of you and just launch into the future. And this is 2026 can be that time. You can choose to release that and be freed up and to go towards the prize and to keep pushing forward. So this year, let this be your year. And keep your eye on the main thing. Keep the main thing the main thing. Because there's so many distractions out there. You don't have to try hard to become distracted. The world's going to try and tell you so many other things are the most important thing. Your money, your career, whatever else. And those things in 100 years are going to mean nothing. But if you live for Christ, in 100 years, that's going to be an eternal reward in heaven. And you'll see the results of that. And you may even have an effect on other people's lives. So this coming year in 2026... shed the weight from the past. Keep your eye on the main goal. Keep your eye on the prize. And keep pursuing. Keep putting the effort in. And keep working hard. Because the ending prize for this whole thing is definitely worth it. Definitely worth it. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you today for your word and for the fact that we don't have to be bound, that you give freedom to us through salvation. We thank you so much for your salvation. And I pray for these here as they're going into this new year, that they can really latch onto you and have this year be the time that they get the closest to you that they have ever been. So I pray a blessing on all here. And it's in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you so much, Derek, for that encouraging message. If you all will rise, we'll say a closing benediction and be on our way. This morning, the benediction comes from Isaiah chapter 43. Do not dwell on the past or remember the former things, for God is doing a new thing in you. May you perceive it and walk in that today. Amen. Go in Christ.